99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web.
This is Phil Donahue. I have 600 channels in my home, but 400 of them are selling the Bowflex machine. That's why I listen to WBAI New York.
With a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on promoting the earth, telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry.
Did they ever hear of solar power? Ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave? The heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do. There's so much we could know. If we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you could join us for Ecologic. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein, and this is Ecologic for Wednesday, August 23rd, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today, our guests are the Reverend Amy Brooks Paradise of Greenfaith and Matt Krogh of Stand.Earth. We'll be talking about individual and institutional efforts to get banks to stop dirty fossil fuel projects funding. First, we'll talk about tropical trees finding their optimal space, the long-term health effects of wildfires, and the problem with Governor Hochul signing the Save the Hudson bill.
We try to open every show with good news. Tropical trees seem to have a wonderful power to grow in the most beneficial places. Kristen Hemingway Janes has an article on earthwatch.com about a study conducted in a Panamanian forest by researchers from the University of Texas at Austin, who found that trees were growing three times further than the distance their seeds fell, which benefited the trees. They wrote, "A tree is more likely to survive when surrounded by different tree species with different resource needs, diseases, and herbivores. Individual species are more negatively impacted by the same species in the fungi, pathogens, and insects that plague them. Thus, they create space in order to prevent the domination of any particular species, which leads to greater forest diversity." The article did not conclude how the trees do that, but other studies have shown that biodiversity is more important than mere biomass when it comes to absorbing carbon dioxide and giving off oxygen.
We thought we had more great news when we heard that Governor Hochul had signed the bill to ban dumping of radioactive wastewater into the Hudson River. DCReport.org analyzed the precise wording of the bill, and the bill might have legalized it rather than banned it. They can dump the 1.5 million gallons they want to dump and pay a fine of only $37,500 if they dump it all at once, a tiny piece of the money they have to decommission Indian Point. They might even be able to take that fine, if they pay it, off their taxes at the price of doing business.
Yes.
If the fine is less than the price of dealing with the waste safely, Holtec is not likely to do it safely.
Megan Rosen interviewed three people on the long-term health effects of wildfires for the latest issue of Science News, a magazine that, like WBAI, does not rely on advertising. Wildfire smoke is different than typical urban smog that has been studied historically. Successful emissions control policies are decreasing pollution from traffic and industry. wildfires have been increasing for years and will undoubtedly continue to increase. According to the editorial in that issue of Science News, climate denial is decreasing as wildfires increase. So maybe people are waking up after all, let's hope. Mm-hmm. Wildfire smoke is closing the breathing passages of people with pre-existing respiratory conditions, such as asthma and chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Environmental epidemiologist Sarah Henderson says the magnitude of that impact in those populations seem to be larger for wildfire smoke than for other types of air pollution. We also see small detriments to cognitive performance. And then there's quite a bit of evidence around impacts to the developing fetus.
The particulate matter in wildfire smoke can get deep into the lungs, which is why long-term effects are developing. Scientists are still in the early phase of analyzing what's in the smoke and what it is doing to us. Even though we spend most of our time indoors, air cleaning is still important. One of the ways to clean the air is with indoor plants, and we highly recommend you get Health Effects of Indoor Plants, the ecologic premium that goes into detail on how indoor plants help clean the air, and will also teach you which plants are best for you. It's a $35 donation and also part of a 4-CD ecologic set for $75. We link to Science News' wildfire health article from the Ecologic website, www.ecoradio.org.
We reported in an earlier Ecologic that the Northern Atlantic Ocean is the warmest on record. This contributes to an increased number of hurricanes and an increased severity. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, predicts a greater than average hurricane season.
And now we welcome our guests. Please introduce yourselves. Amy?
Hi. Greetings, everyone. Greetings to your listeners. My name is Amy Brooks Paradise. I am a Unitarian Universalist minister, and I am an organizer in the United States with Green Faith.
Matt?
Yeah, and hey, everybody. Thanks so much for having me on. Also, greetings to the listeners. I'm Matt Grove. I'm a campaign director for Stand.Earth, focused on finance and Amazon protections. And when I say Amazon, we're talking about the rainforest. We're not protecting the
rainforest. Good. Oh, that's a relief.
I didn't expect that one.
Yeah. So the big banks keep loaning more money to these big, dirty fossil fuel projects. And we have people out in the streets and out on the front lines saying, stop this stuff. How do we help as the average person? How does it all happen?
I can start.
Sure.
I think one of the ways to do this is to look at where your own money is invested. Every person has a bank, just about, if they're lucky. Lots of us have credit cards, insurance, and of course, some of us are blessed with a retirement portfolio. So all of these are money that we are turning over to various institutions to take care of for us. What we don't realize is what they're doing with that money. A lot of it is invested in things like fossil fuels and deforestation. So taking a look at that, at where you have your money, is important. And Green Faith even has a program to help you do that.
And I'd love to add on to that, because I think you're exactly right, Amy. And I think one of the things that's so important about what you do at Green Faith, and what people can also do as part of those actions, is speaking out. We live in a society where most of the rules of morality are not really written down. We should talk to each other about what's right or wrong. And if nobody says it's wrong, we tend to let it slide. And so I think that the concrete actions that you offered, combined with making sure that people know that you were divesting from these bad banks, and I would put Citibank, I'd put Chase up there as some of the largest funders of fossil fuels in the world, including in the Amazon. Do the action, but make sure that people know. And you can do it through letters to the editor. You can do it through, getting on a radio show like this one and talking to people about why you're divesting from the different ways that we speak out are critical to creating understanding of what we all agree as a society is right and wrong. And financing fossil fuels is wrong.
Absolutely. Thank you, Matt. I didn't want to pig all the time, but yes, we do organize people of faith who will go out in public and make these statements and stand in front of banks and agitate and write letters to the editor, and as well as moving their own money and putting pressure on perhaps their faith institutions to also divest. We have a lot of faith institutions in the United States and indeed around the world. And so these institutions also have investments, and they could also be divesting and speaking out on the issue. So thank you for lifting that up so much, Matt.
How do we get them to do that? How do we get the banks to pay attention to things like climate and air and water and wildlife?
Well, I guess I would say that we are in the process of doing that, and we have started seeing real action from some banks on specific issues. And I'll take you back about 5 years ago when the effort to reopen, or not to reopen, but to really open for the first time, the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge to oil drilling was moving quickly. And the Kwichin Indian nations, there are, I think, 13 of them, who depend on the caribou that migrate there, who have been, you know, for millennia protectors of the area, were very clear that anybody financing oil exploration in the area wouldn't have them to contend with. And so the Kwichin leaders ended up coming to New York. Quite a lot of the financial institutions that are important are in New York, and making the moral case for not investing in any of the Arctic region for oil. The banks listened, and they listened to the folks who are saying, you know, this is wrong, and we depend on this place. We're starting to see that happen as well in the Amazon rainforest, where there is a movement led by the Pan-Amazonian organizers of indigenous coalitions is actually pushing hard for banks to stop financing oil and gas in the region. And we started to see banks like BNP Paribas from France, ING from the Netherlands, others have actually made commitments to no longer invest in oil and gas there. I think when we look, you know, back at the States and we look at New York, you know, of the top eight banks that are investing in Amazon oil and gas, three are headquartered in New York. And making sure that they hear from their customers, making sure that we talk about it in the press, making sure that their shareholders are considering taking action and filing resolutions to stop investing in oil and gas, all those things are critical and are actual leverage points that can move the banks. So New York, that's Goldman Sachs, Citibank, Chase, and of course, Bank of America has a very large building in New York, if not their headquarters, and making sure that those banks hear from customers, customers moving their money. And as Amy alluded to, you know, if you have a retirement fund or if you have a pension fund, making sure that those pension funds, insurers are some of the very largest investors in fossil fuels along with banks, making sure that all of them know that the time is now to stop and to actually move that money someplace positive. That's important. And they're going to listen to shareholders and they're going to listen to people who have accounts.
And it's so important that you're getting right to the heart of what we like to do on Ecologic, is giving our listeners something that they can do. So thank you.
Absolutely. And I just wanted to add, the Bank of America headquarters is down here in Charlotte, which is where I am and how I got involved in all of this. You know, this is a local business for us and it employs a lot of people. And so letting them know that we are deeply disturbed by the direction that they're going. And even when they're taking good steps, it's, you know, it's difficult to say this part over here is good while you're still doing bad over there. We really have to transition things out as fully as we possibly can. And I think one of the things to think about with that is, you know, you can stop doing the harm, but also, as Matt mentioned, start doing something good. So one of the things that Green Faith has begun doing is just researching institutions that are making these commitments and trying to advertise institutions that are making commitments to not invest in fossil fuels so that people feel like they have legitimate alternatives. And I also think letting people know by reading articles that come out, there's one that came out pretty recently that talks about how divesting in fossil fuel is actually not a good economic plan. These assets are going to be stranded, which means they are going to have to be left behind when we make the transition. And so if you're putting money into fossil fuels right now, in 15 years or 10 years or 20 years, depending on when that is, they are no longer going to be giving you a good return. There's also good information out there about how it is actually cheaper to invest in things, to do things like put solar panels in, or engaging in building wind farms and things like that. These new technologies are coming way down in cost. And the great thing is that once they start running, they're renewable. So you don't have to keep digging up more oil to run through the pipelines. So these are things that people don't always understand when they think about the startup costs of something like a solar farm or a wind turbine program. These things are renewable. They get, they last, and they don't do all the damage once they're in that these pipelines do.
A few years ago, there was a report that New York City divested of fossil fuels of 5 of the 7 pension plans that the city runs. I'm pretty sure I had those numbers right. And that if they had listened to environmentalists when we first told them divest of fossil fuels, it would have saved those pension plans $2 billion.
Wow.
So clearly divestment is not a bad idea.
Yeah, a lot of you'll hear, the financial return. But it turns out that the financial return is not so clearly in favor of fossil fuels. Sometimes it's in favor of cleaner solutions.
I think that's actually a really critical point, Amy, that you're bringing up too, is the financial realities as we move forward, and stranded assets in particular being a problem where you dump a bunch of money into an oil well and nobody wants the oil anymore. What do you do? But also I think the toxic legacy of these industries leaving behind so much that needs to be cleaned up is one of the things that we need to be calling for now to start getting funds put aside by oil companies and gas companies and other extractive industries to actually have the funds to do the cleanup as these projects reach the end of their life, whether it's a refinery. We see refinery shutdowns in California already, in part prompted by COVID, but also by successful climate policy, or oil wells, or you name it, right? They're going to be very expensive, and the public will be left paying for it if we don't find a way to make sure that we hold these polluters accountable. Seeing the same thing happening in the Amazon, where Chevron in particular walked away from billions of dollars in environmental liability in Ecuador. But to get back to the pensions part, if folks want to take a look, we have a report that's up at Stand.Earth right now that followed on the New York pension divestment and looks at California and the public employee retirement systems there, and found that if I have the number right, I think it was about $6 billion were lost because of the failures. Well, California's two retirement pensions, I believe, are some of the largest in the world.
Yeah.
So two in New York, six in California, kind of, right?
Jeez.
More money than I can even imagine.
I don't understand why not all of New York City's pension plans have divested. That puzzles me. I suppose the people in charge are so tied to the fossil fuel people that they don't want to recommend that. But it does show. And you were mentioning earlier about banks that had divested of fossil fuels, large banks like in France. And was that due to environmental activism?
Well, I think you might get a different answer if you ask them or if you ask us. I would say that the pressure from, we can say, civil society or environmental activism is very real. The banks haven't fully divested. What they've really done is the ones who have taken good action is committed to essentially non-expansion. So they're not investing in new oil and gas. And if we take a look at, the International Energy Agency and other folks who have assessed what we can or should be allowed to burn as we transition, the first step is to ensure that nothing new is financed. Wow. And so I think one of the movements that Stand is supporting, and I encourage folks to go take a look at fossilfueltreaty.org, is a growing international movement. It's supported by some of the Pacific Island nations already. We're seeing support, both at the nation state level as well as the NGO level, nonprofit level, for this fossil fuel non-proliferation treaty. And that's the one where, as you look around, we count up how much oil we have, count up how much gas and coal, look at sort of the glide path that we as a world need to be on to ensure that we have a chance of staying below 1.5 degrees of warming. And this really simple math says, A, we don't need anything new. And B, we need to start ramping down what we are producing. And the fossil fuel treaty takes a look at how to do that, how to do that equitably, and to make sure that the countries who have, I think, suffered the most and continue to suffer the most from climate, who have also been impacted by oil pollution, gas pollution, extraction of all kinds, that those countries are actually taken care of as part of the, I think, the responsibility of the, you know, mostly global north to ensure that we clean up our own messes that we've created in the world.
Absolutely. And Greenface supports the non-fossil fuel proliferation treaty. I think it came out after COP 2021, and it's continuing to get traction. Lots of people are signing it. We promote it on our website. We promote it on our calls as another way for people to take a really simple action. And I think as part of what you're saying, I feel like there are three major asks that we have at Green Faith, and I think they're in line with a lot of other organizations and indigenous right activists, which are, you know, to stop investing in fossil fuels and deforestation, to provide loss and damage. You know, one of the things that's never talked about, we were talking about, you know, the profits and the things that fossil fuel offers and why people continue to invest. They aren't counting the costs, the other costs. There's huge loss and damage amounts that have happened in these countries that have been colonized and are extracted from. And how, you know, those costs are never counted. The health of those folks. And even here in the United States, we have what we call sacrifice zones along the Gulf Coast and so forth, where people are suffering the impacts of the extraction of fossil fuels. And then finally, this idea of a just transition.
Right.
When we make this transition, we don't want it to continue to be all the players as usual who get all the money. We want this to be a just transition where folks, you know, having like local energy cooperatives or making sure that contracts are also made with disproportionately impacted communities or Black and brown businesses, those kinds of things that help us move the process into places and with people who've been forgotten. I mean, I sometimes don't know if we realize that Indigenous people have been fighting this fight for however many years we've been here. Was it 400 and something? You know, a very different lifestyle that was a lot more in balance with the environment. They saw very quickly what we were doing. Of course, it's gotten much worse with the
industrialization.
Thank you, industrialization. And so, but they are leading the fight in many, many places, as Matt alluded to, in places like the Amazon. And they're getting a lot of pushback. They're, one of our organizers from Brazil just shared with us the picture and the name of a woman who was killed. She was an environmental activist, and she was killed. And that happens. And being able to publicize and help people understand that this is going on, and it happens here in the U.S. too. We had our first death in the Cop City area of Atlanta.
Tortuguita,
that's right. It was later on, when they looked into the situation, it was found that he was shot 57 times. I mean, it's a terrible situation.
Well, Amy, you mentioned that banks will have something nice along with all the terrible things they do. And when they do something nice, that's the publicity they give. Those are the ads they buy on television. How do we tell whether that ad is leading the bank or greenwashing the bank?
Well, I think right now we can assume that it's a little bit of both, but probably a lot of greenwashing. Mm-hmm. I would refer people to Banking on Climate Chaos report that comes out every year. It does an excellent job of showing what all the banks are doing. I mean, they look at 60 different banks, but there's, as Matt said earlier, 4, 6, 8 here in the U.S. in particular that we pay attention to that are leading the way. Bank of America, Wells Fargo, Citibank, Chase, and then the Royal Bank of Canada just won the award this year for having the most investments in fossil fuel. It's a very nefarious award, not one that you'd want to have, of course. And so, you know, being able to share out information like that so that folks understand that as long as we are still investing in fossil fuels, the other things, I won't say they don't matter, but they are definitely weighting the story in the favor of having a great public image. And part of our job as activists is to make sure that public image is balanced and that we speak the truth. And it, sometimes it means tarnishing their image because they want to be seen as good communities participants, especially if they have a lot of people in the town like Charlotte where folks are working. People want to be proud of working at a place like Bank of America. And so we want to say it's not as great as you think.
Excuse us, Amy and Matt, as we have to take a short break. Yeah. Something all producers need to do is raise money to keep WBAI on the air to ensure that the bills get paid and the transmission tower keeps transmitting. We'll be back with Amy and Matt soon.
We mentioned the ecologic premium health effects of indoor plants. The wildfires are making air less healthy. How can we make things better without spending a lot of money or using a lot of electricity? One way is with indoor plants. The Ecologic Show, Health Effects of Indoor Plants, is even more helpful now than it was when it was first aired. It has a lot of practical advice, and it can be yours for a donation of $35. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
There is no other station like WBAI. We have longer, more in-depth interviews than almost all mainstream programs, hearing them now. We don't bend to corporate advertisers at BAI or at other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you.
We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting many groups. Ecologic brings you actions you can take, letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions, concerts, webinars, conferences, lobbying efforts. It's all important. Your donation helps us to help community groups get the word out.
Some of you are returning listeners. Welcome back. Aren't you glad many of your old favorites are still on the air? Ecologic has been on WBAI for more than 21 years. And what great new shows have you found? We often hear from people who rediscovered BAI. They appreciate our independence and the news, information, and entertainment that is so different from corporate media. We have such a great history and a great future. Help ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please support us with a donation today to let us know that you're listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by mail or call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
I was at a rally a couple of months ago. In fact, it was a rally to stop Citibank from investing money in fossil fuels and got into a conversation about Ecologic with a young couple. They were interested and glad to know we exist and asked, what radio station? When I told them WBAI, they said, of course, what other radio station would have a show like that? They knew about the uniqueness and breadth of information on BAI. You probably do too. So if you're not a member yet, now's the time. Join us to help keep Ecologic on the air.
Do you remember tuning in to WBAI in October of 2019 and finding dead air? It was shocking. It was before COVID, but there was a different threat that knocked on the door. A rogue group from Pacifica, WBAI's parent organization, conspired to close WBAI and sell the radio signal. That's our most valuable asset. WBAI supporters, including WBAI Fightback, went to court and get our station back. But that was just the first step. The bad guys are not going away. Just as in the environmental movements, they keep coming back. We must stay vigilant. If you want to see WBAI stay afloat, please see this, feel this, hear this radio station as yours. We all know that money is tight now, and that goes double for nonprofits and all people's media. Let's all chip in to keep our station strong. Can you afford to pledge as an Ecologic BAI buddy for just $10 a month or maybe even $15 or more? We really need your support. Please help to keep us on the air.
Also important is the members' election that started this week. Voting is scheduled from now through September 30th, and we need all our members to participate. If you have donated at least $25 between July 2022 and June 30th, 2023, or volunteered at least 3 hours, you are a voting member. Please watch out for your ballot. It will be as important to saving the station as all the efforts in October 2019. There's voting almost every year, so becoming a member is always a good thing. Please send in your $25. This really is your radio station.
You who listen to WBAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have, like from Amy and Matt. You hear experts they don't hear. You have facts they don't have. You know about events they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it and please show your love by donating in the name of Ecologic. Go to the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of Ecologic that you missed or want to hear again. www.ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of Ecologic and direct links to hear them.
If you prefer, you can send a check or money order for your membership and our premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We really hope that you'll take the time to look through our list of premiums. We're sure you'll find something you want. You can find all our premiums, including Healthy Effects of Indoor Plants, on ecologic.wbai.org. That's ecologic.wbai.org.
Here is a classic recording of Pete Seeger singing a song written by Les Rice, a New York State apple farmer and one-time president of the Ulster County chapter of the Farmers Union. Just as now, big ag companies pressured small farmers from selling supplies to setting prices. Fossil fuel companies are devastating public and private lands. Les Rice turned his experience in the late 40s into the song Banks of Marble, just as sadly true today as it was then.
I've traveled around this country from shore to shining shore. It really made me wonder the things I heard and saw. I saw the weary farmer a plowing sod and loam. I heard the auction hammer just a knocking down his home. But the banks are made of marble with a guard at every door, and the bolts are stuffed with silver that the farmer sweated for. I've seen the seamen standing idly by the shore, and I heard their bosses saying, got no work for you no more. But the banks are made of marble with a guard at every door, and the bolts are stuffed with silver that the seamen sweated for. I've seen the weary miner scrubbing coal dust from his back, and I've heard his children crying, got no coal to heat the shack. But the banks are made of marble with a guard at every door, and the vaults are stuffed with silver that the miner sweated for. I've seen my brothers working throughout this mighty land. I prayed we'd get together and together make a stand. Then we might own those banks of marble with a guard at every door, and we would share those vaults of silver that we have sweated for.
That was Pete Seeger singing Banks of Marble.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. We're back with the Reverend Amy Brooks Paradise and Matt Krogh talking about financing of dirty fossil fuels and how we can support it.
Or stop it.
How can we support their efforts?
The activists who are fighting it.
I have to put my glasses on.
So, Matt, you were talking about the Amazon. Let's go into some detail on that.
Yeah, sure. But you know, maybe referring back to what Amy started talking about in terms of indigenous peoples and rights, I think we've seen in North America various difficult, sometimes successful resistance led by indigenous people to fossil fuel proposals, infrastructure of various sorts, whether it's the Standing Rock Sioux leading the resistance to the Dakota Access Pipeline, financed in part by Wells Fargo and Citi and other banks like that. The Lummi Indian Nation in Washington State successfully resisting coal export terminals that threatened their lands, originally financed by Goldman Sachs, or the Wet'suwet'en in British Columbia, who have been resisting the Coastal GasLink pipeline financed by Royal Bank of Canada. We have all the connections, and we're seeing it here, that this indigenous leadership is absolutely critical to actually resisting the fossil fuel industry, and I think perhaps no more so than in the Amazon, where we've seen for decades, at least in the Western Amazon, not endless, but very real oil extraction, very real damages. And we know who's financing it. And so I think supporting the indigenous efforts to protect the Amazon is one of the most important things we can do. The leading organization on that is called COICA, C-O-I-C-A. It's an acronym. You can find them pretty easily online. But they are leading an initiative called Amazonia for Life, Protect 80% by 2025. And it's the most ambitious, I think, proposal out there for the Amazon. But in the planks that they have within that proposal, first of all, you know, they want each of the eight Amazonian countries to commit to protecting 80% of their share of the Amazon. Secondly, though, one of the things they want is to see banks divest or to stop investing in oil and gas and mineral extraction, an agriculture that is causing deforestation. And so I think people who are interested in protecting the Amazon, which I think should be all of us at this point.
Oh, yeah. You know,
the Amazon is essentially critical for climate, preventing climate chaos, critical for biodiversity. And the indigenous people who have been living there, you know, at this point, it's an amazing thing to see. The national parks, the international protected areas, all those other things are nowhere near as well cared for as indigenous territories. And indigenous territories worldwide have about 80%, maybe near 90% of the biodiversity that's left on this planet. And so if you want to talk about protecting biodiversity and protecting climate, one of the first things you should be doing is supporting indigenous rights, free, prior, and informed consent for any new projects on those territories, making sure that their right and title is either affirmed, or in the case of about half the areas in the Amazon that should be protected, it needs to be created and support the indigenous people who live there. So for the purpose of the Amazon, taking a look at the website, Amazonia for Life, protect 80% by 2025. Love to have people lend their voice to support that indigenous-led effort in the Amazon. And along with it, you know, make sure that we're encouraging banks to directly stop financing oil and gas. Because oil and gas is not just climate, it's not just pollution, but the extraction of new areas creates roads that lead to more deforestation. So that's my pitch to you. If you want to get involved in the Amazon, the first thing we need to do is make sure that we support indigenous folks who are leading the way to protect it.
I remember hearing on another show about how the carbon trading, the buying of offsets sometimes leads to areas of the forest being fenced off even from the indigenous inhabitants and saying, we're protecting this. But that's not protecting it. Better to let the indigenous folks do what they know best, what they've been doing for thousands of years.
Yeah, we have this weird idea, at least in the United States, that when things are natural, it means that humans don't touch it. And what we're learning is that, and it's, this is actually very biblical, since I'm a pastor, I'll bring that up, that taking care of the earth is something that humans are very well equipped to do. And in some traditions, it's a mandate. And here are indigenous people who've been doing it for 10,000 years before the Bible was even written, at least by my estimation. And it's the same, it is the very same value. This idea of caring for the earth, of being a part of that community of living beings. And it's something that we can all do. And Matt, I wanted to say that website again, because if Green Faith hasn't signed up, I need to do that right after this show.
Well, the website is Amazonia for Life, Protect 80% by 2025. That's the name of the name of the initiative led by COICA. The website itself is Amazonia 80x25 80 by 25 dot earth.
Great.
Repeat that.
And so Amazonia 80 by 25 dot earth, so 80x25 dot earth, Amazonia 80 by 25 dot earth. And again, that's an indigenous led effort. It's has indigenous organizations from every Amazonian country supporting it, and over 1,000 civil society groups have signed on already, and we'd love to see many more. You know, I think we see different efforts around the world, like the protect 30% of the earth by 2030. That's a good effort, but when we get to places of incredibly high biodiversity that actually help regulate the world's hydrologic cycle, 30% obviously is not enough, and the 80% number comes from some pretty good science, taking a look at what it will take to prevent the Amazon from spontaneously over time changing from a highly biodiverse rainforest to low biodiversity grasslands. Mm-hmm. So that 80% is not a random number. And as of today, we have about 74% of the Amazon that is either intact or low degradation. So what we're really talking about is stopping deforestation now and reforesting about 6% to hit this minimum.
Wow.
We invite you to call in with your comments and questions. The call-in phone number is 212-209-2877. Now's your time to call, 212-209-2877. And while we're waiting for your calls, we want to let you know about the WBAI Candidates Forum coming up on August 26th and September 2nd at 4 to 6 p.m. Ranked choice ballots are on their way, and there will be reminders every week until you vote. So please do your part, listeners, for democratic governance of our listener-supported, locally controlled radio station, and return your ballot on time.
Amy, is Green Faith part of the Faith Hub for the End Fossil Fuels March on September 30th?
Yeah, actually, Allie Tharp, one of our organizers, yes, is managing that, the Faith Hub process. And we would love for more people of faith to sign up to be Faith Hub captains and bring people from your local congregation, your community, to join us on September 17th. And it's a very easy, there's two easy ways to get connected. One is to just email Allie, it's A-L-Y, at greenfaith.org. And the second is a standard bit.ly link. If you know how those work, it says bit.ly/faith-September-17th. So that is a direct bit.ly link to the Faith Hub process.
The SEPT or spelled out?
It's SEPT17. Thanks for that. So bit.ly/faith, F-A-I-T-H, dash, S-E-P-T-1-7. And we're hoping to have thousands of people, not just people of faith, but that's the plug I'm going to put in. But we want everyone to come to show our banks, to show the UN, to show people who are gathering to talk about stopping fossil fuels, that there is a strong grassroots presence and support for this effort.
Yeah, I know there's a whole long list of hubs at endfossilfuels.us. Nuke Free, Carbon Free is starting. Radical Elders are leading the Elders Hub. everybody's going to be there.
Everybody's going to be there. Don't get left out.
Yeah, we'll be talking about September 17th March in detail next week on Ecologic. But no problem in letting you guys know even before that.
And we have a caller, 212-209-2877. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for your show.
Hello.
You're on the air.
Can you hear me? Can you hear
you
me?
You can be.
Hello?
Yes. Hi. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
A little low.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm just interested in knowing what wisdom have we gained from our Native American indigenous peoples that we can implement today? Because although I appreciate the idea of clean energy, but how clean really is it? Because it's going to take still the use of fossil fuels to be able to create the items needed to make these things for clean energy. You know what I mean? It's still going to be around. So what steps can people nowadays take that we can implement from our indigenous brothers and sisters who have, as it was said a moment ago, for 10,000 of years, you know, have been taking care of the earth? We need to learn from them. We need to reap from them.
I love your call, because you're inviting me to bring up an issue that is really my pet issue, which is efficiency. The Native Americans did not waste the energy that they made. They used the energy that they made. So we folks with European ancestry tend to do a lot of wasting. And, you know, our air conditioning goes out our windows. Our heat goes out our windows. You know, our cars are not wound tightly enough to be efficient motors. I mean, it's crazy. With efficiency, a building can use only one-tenth the energy. And it's, you know, so you don't have to make anything. You just become more efficient. Amy?
Right. Yeah, a couple of things. First, I'm not an indigenous person or an expert on indigenous beliefs or thinking or lifestyles, but I have learned some things by reading what somebody like Robin Wall Kimmerer has written. And one thing that she writes about in Braiding Sweetgrass is how her language sees everything as a living being. And it's really hard to hurt something that you see is a living being, something that you feel related to. And the fact that indigenous people feel related to the earth really puts a different lens on what it is you do when you decide to cut down a tree or kill an animal or plant something. I love the idea not only of efficiency, but also take only what you need. We are such a consumerist culture. Indigenous folks generally lived very day to day, and there are certainly problems with that, but I don't know that we have to, problems in terms of, you know, safety and having enough food, but I also don't think we have to go the other way and collect everything that, and you know, we have houses full of stuff. So take only what you need. And then the last thing that I would say about all of that is, well, I had it a moment ago. This is what happens when you get to be a certain age and it goes away. I just think there's so much that we can learn about it. Oh, I know what I'm going to say. It may not be indigenous, but we know that there are certain things that you can do that will help reduce. And one is figure out, like, the next time you move, drive someplace where, or move someplace where you don't need to use a car as much. Walk and bike more. Mm-hmm. Don't fly.
I think of the old Yankee maxim, use it up, wear it out, make it do or do without.
There you go. And then the third one is eating lower on the food chain. We don't need to be consuming the huge amounts of meat that we are. And a lot of people don't like to hear these things, but they really do help.
And we have time for one more caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Maybe. Hi.
Hi, yes. Just a point of interest. When you're saying the websites, could you speak really slowly and clearly and don't sing? When you don't understand what you're saying. So could you repeat all the websites? and so I could write it clearly. I don't know what when we're going to meet on September 17th, for example.
Hello? All the website information will be on www.ecoradio.org.
Yeah, right after the show ends, I'll start coding the website with all this extra information that Matt Krog and Amy Brooks Paradise have given us.
For September 17th, that's bit.ly/FAITH-SEPT17.
Well, I'm sorry, folks. It's time to wrap up already. Oh. Time goes by so quickly. So thanks for joining us this morning, everyone. For more information, go to greenfaith.org and stand.earth. Also on ecoradio.org. That's ecoradio.org. We have information on a variety of environmental topics as well as an archive of our past shows.
We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're at WBAI Ecologic. No dashes.
Join us next Wednesday, August 30th at 10 a.m. as we discuss the September 17th End Fossil Fuel March. To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums at ecologic.wbai.org. Become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic buddy pledges.
WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic, live or on the archives. If you listen live, we may be able to take your call and answer your question.
This show will be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes. Our thanks to our engineer, Woji Jacobs. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Sally Gellert.
I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Wednesday, August 30th at 10 a.m. to hear about the September 17th End Fossil Fuels March. You can always find us on the archives. Check our website for details. Thanks for being our listeners.
It shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
give me the time. WBAI's election balloting period has started, and you can vote through September 30th, 11:59 p.m. Look out for a link to your e-ballot in the form of an email from invitations@mail.electionbuddy.com with the subject line, Vote Now, Pacifica Foundation, Inc., 2023 Local Station Elections. You may also receive a text message with a link to your e-ballot. If you need to request a new ballot, file a ballot request form by visiting elections.pacifica.org. If you do not have access to the internet, please leave a voicemail on 213-635-9363. Please only file one request, as multiple requests will slow down the processing time. It's 99.5 FM WBAI in New York and online at WBAI.org.
Celeste Katz Marston from Driving Forces here on WBAI. We live in complicated times. Sometimes it seems like everyone's talking at once. Sometimes important voices get drowned out, and sometimes it's just hard to know what to believe. But here's one thing we know for sure. For more than 60 years, WBAI has been New York's go-to radio station for independent, non-commercial, free speech programming. Help us fulfill this important mission. Join the WBAI family as a BAI buddy in the name of your favorite show today and support radio you can trust. It's easy. Just go to give to, that's the number two, WBAI.org. When you become a BAI buddy, you pledge your continuing support for great programs like politics, news, the arts, music, and culture. You help us stay on the air with the kind of real community radio we all depend on right now. Just go to give2wbai.org today. Don't wait. You know these times are too important. It's simple to make a recurring monthly donation, and it only takes a minute. Just go to give2, that's the number 2, wbai.org. WBAI has spoken up for New Yorkers for more than 60 years. Now, it's time to speak up for WBAI. Give to radio you can trust. Give to WBAI. Be heard.
Hi, listeners. Don't want to use the website or the call center to contribute to WBAI? That's okay. Please feel free to send your check or money order to WBAI, 3rd floor, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. Please make a check or money order out to Pacifica-WBAI. We thank you for your donation and hope that you will spread the word and tell your friends. And please keep on listening.
Time to watch the frogs eating the flies.
Yep, then off to the neighbors to watch the paint dry.
Mr. Wilson, Mr. Wilson, the trains are coming, the trains are coming.
Land sakes, it's the Arts Express pulling into the station with goodies for all of us.
Well, it's about time. Looky, there's presents for everyone.
Look, Pa, it's a preview of the latest indie feature.
And Ma, it's an interview with a major Broadway theater actor.
And I got some shiny new film reviews from film festivals all over the world.
And here's cutting-edge poetry from the country's most progressive poet.
Oh, sweet Lord, it's a miracle.
No, it's not. It's Arts Express with host Prairie Miller.
That's Arts Express with host Prairie Miller at our new day and time, Wednesdays at 9 p.m. on WBAI New York.
This is Commissioner Idanis Rodriguez from the New York City Department of Transportation. Mayor Adams and I invite you to Summer Streets this year in every borough. In Queens and Staten Island on July 29th. In Manhattan on August 5th, 12th, and 19th. And in the Bronx and Brooklyn on August 26th. Visit nyc.gov/Summer Streets for more details. See you then.
This is Mike Pinder, co-founder of the Moody Blues. You're listening to WBAI, New York.